Level horrible clicker. This joy that we get from the contact with the material world will definitely be followed by sorrow. Because it is of the passing, fleeting nature. So one needs to gain the wisdom. Having understood the nature of the world, you will not expect it to give you permanent joy. It will give you joy temporarily. You experience that and you move. You don't expect it to give you permanent joy. So Vedanta is not against contacting the world, but contacting the world with the understanding as if it's going to give you permanent joy. And then get deceived and say, world deceive me. World did not deceive you. You deceive yourself out of your own delusion. Foolishness. So world, worldly objects cannot give you that permanent joy. Remember that poem by Third of Children called Even This Shall Pass Away. Once in Persia, reigned a king who upon a signet ring, great and magnificent, strange and wise, fit for every change and chance, solemn words, these were they, even this shall pass. So everything comes and goes, comes and goes, nothing stays. But in reference to sorrow, what happens is, since we go on experiencing sorrow, we get acclimatized to the small sorrows. Suddenly when big sorrow comes, then it shakes us. Therefore he uses great sorrow. You know, there was a person who was interested in learning the Vedanta. So he went to a master and he said, Master, please accept me as your student. I want to learn everything from you and I also want to grow up and become a teacher like you. And he was only about 20 years old. So the master asked, then fine, I'll take you at my desired home. And you say that you want to grow up and become a teacher. But are you ready to be ridiculed for the next 25 years? Father said, yes, I'm ready. But why do you ask this and what happens after 25 years? He said, after 25 years you get used to it. So then, this is what is happening to us. Our life, there is pleasure, there is pain. Constantly pain is coming. After the pleasure, but now we get any pleasure from any contact. And we are getting used to the pain. Getting used to the pain. Acclimatization. People live in filth. Like pig, it lives in flesh. So some people live in filth, around filth. Around there is all filth. But they are fine, they are comfortable. Jim won't tell them, why do you have to live like this? There's a better way to live. There's a much stronger way. They are fine, they have no problem. Because they got acclimatized to it. You know, there are people who live on the main road. Their houses are on the main road. Right? Your houses are on the main road, but you have a lot of trees and everything, so it's little inside. On the road, some of their houses, right? So throughout the day and night, vehicles are going, honking, all sorts of noise. They got acclimatized to it. They can sleep very well. Probably if one day there is bump and suddenly everything becomes silent, maybe they cannot sleep, I don't know. So this acclimatization to sorrow, suddenly when something unheard of kind of sorrow happens, then it hits us. Even such a sorrow does not affect him. That's what he's saying. Even such a sorrow does not affect him. Why? Because what affects you from the outside depends on what you are inside. Right? If you are inside also identified with the body, then at a gross level you will be affected. If you are inside identified with the mind and not with the body bodily things will not affect you, but emotional things will affect you. Right? Similarly, if inside you are identified with intellect, then the bodily and emotional things will not affect you. But somebody's opinion about you, because it's their assessment, it's their value, it's their valuation about you, which is at the intellectual level, that can affect it. But if inside you identify with Atma, bodily, emotional, intellectual sorrows cannot affect you. When you know that you are the Atma which did not take birth, therefore there is no question of death for Atma. I am not born only. I am Ajah. I am birthless. Consciousness is not taking birth when it is manifested or reflected through the equipment. Believe me, the equipment are only reflecting the consciousness. But the consciousness is not taking birth. When you understand this, then there is no problem. That is why in the 11th verse of the Gita began, in the second chapter 11th verse, Lord Krishna said, wise people do not grieve. For those who have come and those who have gone. Why? Because they know that consciousness is not born. Something which is not born, where is the question of it being put to death? There is no question of death for. So the greatest sorrow cannot come. But if you identify at the cross level inside, then the outside comes. So remember this. Whenever you say, I am affected, what you need to understand is, it is a reminder from the universe that you are identified at that level. You want to subtilize your identification further. But what do we do? Oh, I am getting affected by that person. So we start feeling bad. We start developing negative thoughts about that person. Rather than that, we should understand that it is only a reminder. There is a certain thing that is happening in your body, it's a symptom. Cause is something else. Why blame the symptom? So remember this. Outside can bring you sorrow only depending on what you have identified inside.
What you're saying would be that we have to basically work on, obviously what we've been learning, that we have to work on our mind or on our thoughts.
Absolutely.
And get it out of our system.
Establish your mind in Atma, nothing else. If you keep your mind in any object or being outside, you are bound to be deceived. The only thing that will not deceive you is your Atma, God.
Bharosa kar tu Ishwar par, tujhe dhoka nahi hoga, ye jeevan beet jayega, tujhe rona nahi hoga.
Beautiful bhajan we sing in the ashram.
Kabhi sukh hai, kabhi dukh hai.
Goes in high pitch.
So, ये जीवन धूप छाया है.
So, you need to understand that Atma. When you identify with Atma, you disassociate from sorrow. And you have associated yourself
with Ananda. When you know the highest Ananda, there is nothing more to attain. That is what he is saying. There is nothing more gain.
You see, any other gain you get. But the excitement is so much, but when you get it, you get, is that all? Boredom comes. Isn't it? That's why he says, it's very interesting. The worldly things you, when you pursue that, you don't have boredom. But when you have got it, you get boredom. In the case of worldly things. In the case of subtler things, especially Atma, the pursuit is boring because you don't get instant pleasure. You see, what happens in the worldly things is, you work for it, sooner you get it. It's just a question of time, but you get it. Instantaneous. You understand? So, while you work for it, expectation keeps you going. But once you get it, oh, these are all so much hype. First day, you understand? You want to see, you want to be there on the first day, first, everything first. You want to be seated in the first row, watching the first show, etc., etc. The hype is so much. But when it all starts, it's a countdown. Now the countdown for World Cup is going, right? FIFA World Cup. A lot of people have already gone to Brazil, right? I have to be honest with you, a thought crossed my mind, I would also want to be in Brazil because nothing like watching football in Brazil. Those guys, I mean, it's incredible. When you are there, then slowly I, you know, open my own mind and I dealt with it. What I'm trying to tell you is the hype. And that hype is so exciting, exciting, exciting. You get there, countdown. And when it comes and starts, it's like a deflated tire. Gone. Isn't it? Oh, that's all. That despair sets in. In the case of a worldly pursuit, pursuit is not where you have despair. But when you get the fruit, that despair sets in.
But for many things you say, oh, that was really nice and I enjoyed it. We don't say that, oh, that's all.
You must just be honest to yourself. Are you telling to psych yourself? Or what was your actual experience? If you honestly see, this is what Vedanta says, you put in tremendous effort and you get very little. But what happens is, you meet others, oh wow, fantastic, we have great time. So you think, okay, probably the way I approach it is wrong, I will get it next time, I will put in little more effort. This time I didn't get it, next time I'll get it. This time I didn't get it, next time I'll get it. It's going on and on. But every time you get, you come back with disappointment. Falling the spring of thy pursuit, disappointment thy fruit. Says the Panapalanda Bipo. Falling the spring of thy pursuit. Disappointment thy fruit. The spring of your pursuit is falling. What is the falling? There in this, as if there is joy in the external world. That is the folly.
But I have a question. We see people come to us, say, what's the book? Supposing a person is great, is a good footballer. Let's say a person who has to be a good footballer at least. For him, for me, if I went, maybe I would think like that, oh, what is the good thing after doing it? But for someone that came and many others like, who are passionate about their, and who are really into their activity, whether it's football, whether it's music, or whatever, who are actually doing it themselves, and then they go and attend the meeting. So then I'm just thinking in mind, okay, the excitement of being there is one thing, but the game for them, because it's objective also, the game for them.
We are not saying you don't go there, you don't watch, we are not saying sit at home, just watch the wall, we are not saying that. All that point I tried to make was, just that excitement was so much, but once you get it, then you say, oh, is that all? That's all. Anything, in a sense. There's so much excitement, hype up. Especially you don't know. See, you have seen many inaugural matches. Wimbledon, you would have gone every time, first day, first match, everything. Maybe Wimbledon finals, you were there. You understand? I'm somebody who loves sports. Especially, I like soccer, I like cricket, I like tennis, I like NBA. You know, that's another thing. Okay, you should be watching NBA finals. It's a big thing. Nobody is saying it doesn't have, that sport doesn't have its own merit.
Yeah.
You go, especially if you can appreciate. For example, I can appreciate golf. So it would be great if I could watch this great play. I'm talking about the mind's excitement. You see, mind creates such an excitement. And once you go there, that first thing, which is not known to you, because how many ever Wimbledon finals you see, this Wimbledon final is going to be something unique. So that hyper is there. And once you go there, it all starts. Afterwards, you enjoy the match, that's a different matter. I'm just talking about that disappointment as well as the expectation and the meeting of that first experience. So what I'm trying to tell you is, in the case of wedding things, you get despair when you get the fruit. In the case of Atma pursuit, the very pursuit you get despair, because morning I have to get up and study, and everybody is sleeping, right? And then I got to do this, I got to do that, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and I said, Baba, why did I meet this fellow? You understand? And 1 year gone, 2 years gone, 3 years gone, 2 years gone, and you meet Bhagavad Gita, I said, Babu Naam Janma Naam Ante Vedi. I said, Baba, that means many Janma ke baad, the mind wants to get things like this. It doesn't want to be patient. That patience, you understand? In the worldly thing, why people go after the worldly thing? Why don't they come to the pursuit of Atma? Why even somebody comes to the pursuit of Atma, they're not able to be consistent. Why are we using this word here? Do not get into this undespairing mind. Without undespairing mind, pursue. Bringing yourself to spiritual field itself is not easy, and to be consistent with it. Because the fruit you're not going to see, benefit you're not going to see like that. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because there is depends on so much of backlog. And it's a very unique path. Though all of us attend to the class together, her karma backdrop is something different from your karma backdrop, your karma backdrop. How much consistently she is doing sadhana, you are doing sadhana, I am doing sadhana. Each one is different. If that's why we are all together, sitting and studying in a class. You understand? Probably she started much earlier, but she has a long way to go. Probably you started much later, but you have very little time to go. It all is very subjective. Right? There is a story Swamiji talked about. Two sannyasis, they were meditating in the Himalayas. And Lord Narada, Narada Muni, sage Narada Muni had come down from Vaikuntha to one of his visits to the world. So when he went there, both his sages prostrated to him, to the Narada Muni. And while he was going back, again he met them, they prostrated. And now he asked, is there anything you want me to find out from Mahavishnu? Because when I come back again, I can let you know. Both said, please find out how many more Janmas we have to realize the self. Let's name them KJ, CHB. And Narada Muni, you know, as usual, he wants to play back. He doesn't want to put everything straight. So, in Vaikuntha from Mahavishnu, he came to know that Sage A is realizing in that Janma. That is his last Janma. Sage B has many more Janmas to come. 1,000 more Janmas to come, let us say. But Narada Muni came and said exactly the opposite to them. So to Sage A, who was going to realize in that Janma, he said, you see, look at that chamomile tree. And the chamomile tree has very, very small leaves and innumerable leaves. So he said, if you could count all the number of leaves in that tree, that's many Janmas you have. But he is realizing in that Janma. Further, Sage A said, oh, at least now it has come to finite numbers. So grateful to you, I'll continue doing my sadhana. Even to Sage B, who has many more Janmas, he said, in this Janma you are realizing. And the story goes, Sage B said, acha, in this Janma? And told some new shopping mall has come, some new this thing has come, that thing has come, I've not experienced all this, let me go experience all this because I'm going to realize this Janma. Afterwards I will not have any work. So in other words, the pursuit of Atma. There is no such thing as guarantee that you will get indigent. Upanishads also say, Gita also say, Yella, before long. Before long means it can be Vijayana, it can be Vimojana.
In fact, true sadhak who is genuinely interested in liberation
is not worried about
when.
Because for him the very pursuit is enjoyable. But a person who is not really a true sadhak, he is looking at the very sadhana with an eye on the fruit. He got attached to moksha itself. For him, each and every minute is like 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Time is a very interesting concept. When you enjoy, you know, an enjoyable experience, even if you spend 3 hours, it goes like 1 minute. When you are in an experience which you don't enjoy, even 5 minutes is like some bias, something to do with your mind. That is the whole thing, the expectation. You know, that expectation brings that enjoyment. The moment you get it, it's all finished. In a fraction of a minute, what you hyped for years together, right, finishes in a fraction of a second. It is completely to do with mind. So is it? This is called as yoga of severance from union with pain. I explained to you last time. Union with pain is by our foolishness. You understand? We attach ourselves to the world. When I say we attach, what do we mean by that? We send out thoughts towards the world. Why do we constantly send out thoughts towards the world?
Because we believe that will bring us joy. And when we contact temporarily, it did bring joy. But now it started stinging. But we know not any other superior joy. So our mind constantly goes after it.
Now we need to disassociate from that. Then we will be disassociating from
sorrow. And disassociation is possible only when you associate with something higher. And therefore we said, you want to associate with the Atma within. How do you associate with Atma within? With the help of the scripture. With the help of the Guru. With the help of satsang. Constantly you got to associate yourself with Atma.
Because of your so much of association with the world, it doesn't go that easily. See, we need to learn how not to get attached to the world and then live. Isn't it? But what has happened in our case is, we started living and we have developed tremendous attachments. Now we are learning about how to detach. It's even more difficult. Therefore we say, you got to learn and then live. But we are living, having lived, now we are trying to learn. It is even more difficult. So that is why we say, at any cost, never give up your daily sadhana. It's not easy. If you give up your sadhana, the attachment is getting stronger. Till you are established in the higher. Once you are established, then you are completely dissociated. Why? Because now you know that you are the Atma. The outer layers are not your true personality. Your true personality is your inner self, which can be, which cannot be touched by anything else. Then you can say, weapons do not claim me. Fire does not burn me, water does not wet me, wind does not blow me. That is the word Krishna said in the second chapter. Weapons do not cleave the self. Fire does not burn the self. Water does not wet the self. Wind does not blow the self. Self is not touched by any of this. It's not at all touched by any of this. Appears as if it is touched, but it has not touched, cannot touch.
Nainam chintanti shatrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, na chainam kleda yatyavaha, na shoshati na bharuta. So once I understand that, thereafter what will happen is, I am insulated by the knowledge. When I am insulated by the knowledge, nothing shocks me.
When the insulation is gone, then it shocks. You know, the electrician, when he comes in, works, sometimes some of the electricians don't even switch off the mains.
Yeah.
Right? I ask them, you don't want to switch off the mains? They say, no, it's okay. If you see the cutting player that they will use, it will be insulated. They know. See, the interesting thing is, if you know, if you understand electricity, then you can play with it. If you don't know electricity, you can't play with it. So if you know the world in its entirety, to know the world in its entirety, you've got to go beyond the world. You've got to be outside of it to see, to be able to see it. You know what I mean? You've got to go outside of the world to be able to see it fully. Like you have sent the satellites into the orbit and they take pictures of the Earth from different angles. So they are outside of it. From it you can't take it. Nowadays the biggest thing, you know what it is? Selfie.
Yeah.
What's going on? Is why of course I'm there. Everybody is having this selfie. The biggest thing is the selfie. Well, they have a selfie, they're taking their own pictures.
Yeah.
Anyway. So what do you do when you do selfie? The camera is?
Away.
Away. It can't take the picture of the very hand it is, very fingers it is, fully. With me. So, you got to understand that when you go beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the intellect, you understand the entire nature of the body, entire nature of the mind, entire nature of the intellect. Thereafter it does not affect you. You go to the zoo, you know the nature of tiger, you know the nature of a deer, you know the nature of all the animals there. You experience, you meet, you know, you see all of them, you love all of them, but they don't affect you. Their nature doesn't affect you. Similarly, when you move with people, because they are able to affect you because you are at touch level. Would has Shakespeare be bothered that I am not able to appreciate his poetry? It's a different level. Right? The saints, they understand that you are a small child. You don't understand that, that's fine. And they are not even complete about it. The fact that you are affected, you are affected, that means you are affected. So if you go beyond, if you go to the deepest core of your personality,
then none of this affects. The greatest sorrow is no sorrow.
Because you understand the nature in its entirety. What happened to Jesus Christ? They were crucifying him, right? They're driving the nail through his body. And if you look at his face, you will not see as if it is very disturbed, very comfortable. How is that possible? Manzoor, the same thing happened to Manzoor. Cutting his feet, legs, throwing stones at him. He's laughing, smiling, cheerful. He's saying, you guys have no idea. You think you are harming me. You are not at all touching me.
It is impossible for you to touch me.
How is that possible? Simple thing like, when you work for a higher goal, a person is identified with the country, right? And she is engaged in a war, battle. Or if there is some sudden fire or blood, these people who want to save lives, they identify with it. And they go and they work hard. They struggle. They go through a lot of physical pain.
But their physical pain, some of them are excruciating pain.
They go through. But at that time, they are possessed with some higher goal. They are inspired. They are in a state of inspiration. When they are in a state of inspiration, this doesn't bother them.
The greatest sorrow doesn't affect you. Why? You have lifted yourself to a higher level.
You got to envisage a greater goal in life. All the time he said like this to me. I don't know, let him say like this. Because he has a lot of time to do that. Why don't you focus on something higher? What has given you so much? Right? Even a pauper, the world has given him so much. There is no time for you to complain. Isn't it? You must work for a higher goal, higher vision. But if you have petty identification with petty things, then you are at that level, that's going to affect you. It is impossible that an unselfish person will be affected. And a selfish person will be happy. That is the law. An egoistic person whose focus is constantly upon himself or herself is bound to be affected. So if you want to sever yourself from the sorrow, you got to emphasize a higher purpose, higher goal and work for it. The highest goal is Atma. But today you are probably not in that level to envisage the goal of self-realization. Pitch up a higher goal and work for it. Then really speaking, see what people talk about you, what they write about you in the gossip column, it really doesn't matter. You're so busy focusing on the goal and, you know, achieving the goal, working. It really doesn't matter. If it's a big thing for you, what does it show? It shows that you lack a goal, you lack a purpose. You're not looking for something higher in life. You're at that level. Constantly cribbing. How much world is given us? Are you grateful? Has your prayer ever been thanksgiving? Or has it always been complaining? Believe me. Bhagavan Krishna says in Gita, as you are studying now, that I keep you as you approach me. If you approach me as a person who is complaining constantly, he keeps you as a person who is complaining constantly. If you approach me as a person who is grateful, I keep you as a person who is always grateful. With what? Full. I'm full. If you look at the glass and say, look at the level of water, that is where your focus is, you say water is half full. If you look at the empty portion, you say, what is half empty? This is like, a person is not moved by great sorrow. Why? Because his attention is all the time on the higher. If your attention all the time is on where you are going to have your next vacation, how many more factories are you going to be opening, right? If this is your thoughts are going to be revolving just there at the worldly level. I'm not saying let it open, let it happen as a byproduct. Do you see? See, you just pick up a higher goal and dedicate yourself for the higher, and whatever comes as a remnant of the sacrifice, you enjoy. Your life will be such a wonderful journey. Do you mean? Your life will be enriched by the quality of your personality, not by the quantity added to your personality. Do you mean? Finite plus finite plus finite plus finite will remain finite. Sidney Carton gave his life. The end is this, it's a far, far better rest I hope I get than I've ever got. It's a far, far better peace I get than I've ever been. That is what you will get. You've got to, see, this is not something that you study and experience. This is something that you practice and experience. Practice working for a higher goal. Thereafter you will not want to say it keeps. You know, wilderness. No. You have the experience of working selfishly. Right? Working for money, working for name, working for position, working for this and that. Now try it out. Just as an experimentation. Working for something higher. Incredible feeling. Once you face it and compare and contrast, that's what he's saying. Having achieved something higher, would your mind want to go to the lower? Even in the worldly things, you know. So that, I don't know how to explain that. Anything worldly. There's no connection between the two. Even in chocolates, huh? We experience, they say, for example, these beverages that they sell here, Coke and all that, it tastes differently in different countries. You know, when I was in Atlanta, they've taken me to this Coke factory. They allow me to taste different flavors of Coke. Did you know the number of flavors of Coke? It's a totally different experience. So water is different. They say the flavor is same, but the water is different. I don't know what it is. So it tastes different. So once you taste something superior, your mind will not want to go to the lower. Cannot. So we need to put it into practice, we need to plunge, keep on studying about it, going on, reading the menu. Are you going to feel satisfied? You need to order the food, eat. Isn't it? So Vedanta says, pitch up a higher goal and plunge. Work for something higher. You understand? If you work for something higher, you will find in life suddenly all sorts of work. It is not as if pains are not there, but the pains are all turning itself into pleasure.
So, for example,
fear, what fear, Buddha?
Fear of getting out of a certain comfort zone.
Exactly.
Used to the mind, the ability to also. So fear of letting go, also prevents.
Absolutely, the fear of letting go. That is why he talks about Shraddha. Shraddha Labhate Jnana. To gain this knowledge, you need Shraddha. You see, Arjuna and Duryodhana, the story, how did, before the Mahabharata war started, Arjuna and Duryodhana both go to Krishna. Right? They are in the process of building a chi. Both of them are building a chi, right? More familiar. So they went to Krishna. Krishna is related to both of them. So, you know the story goes that Krishna offered, on one side I'll fight without weapons. On the other side, my entire army with all the weapons of mass destruction will be there. Arjuna chose Krishna. The trust it is required. God let go. It's exactly like how you, when you are in the Supreme Court, learning to swim. You don't let go. I know, in a waveless ocean, when you go on literally light off, you will be actually floating. Because there is not a salt in it. That's why they say, you know, Dead Sea, when you go, really, there is too much salt in it. You really float. The experience is that. It's a tremendous feeling. You want to let go. When you plunge and say, maximum what will happen? Right?
Coach is there, everybody is around, and you stood on it, the swimming pool is hardly 3 feet and you are 6 feet. You are now 4 feet, you are 6 feet. You are going to drown and everybody is there. But you still don't let go, you know? When you say, let me let go now, let go. You find that announcing, you know, why? Because when you let go, you breathe normally. Relax. And your lungs is filling with air. And your lungs are filled with air. You float. So learn to breathe normally and you float. You know, yeah. So pump in air into a balloon and throw it on the water, it's going to float. Because there is air. Like that, your lungs are filled with air. And that can happen when you breathe in, breathe out, relax. So that is only possible when you let go.
That letting go everything to Krishna, after studying slowly, slowly, that surrender will happen.
You think as if you are the one who are running your life. I gave you this example before. You are sitting in the flight. You checked in the luggage is coming in the same flight. Supposing you say, I this, the flight is carrying me, I don't want to over whatever the flight, I want to keep it on my head. Anyway, the flight only is carrying you and the luggage. Whether you keep it on your head or you keep it down. Simply keep it down. The knowledge you do not have, you think you are running this world. I pointed out to you in the first chapter when Arjuna said, Senayor Bayor Bandhya Ratam Sapaya Meya Chita, O Krishna, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. Krishna just smiled because he knew, my chariot? When did you start claiming it as yours, man? When did it become yours? Prakriti is laughing at us. When did it become yours? I told you, Prakriti wants to recall. Bring itself, you know, perpetuate itself. So it's using your body and procreates through you. But you think you are, you produce somebody. How does the procreation happen? Prakriti. The nature through your body. It perpetuates itself. It's interesting. Very, very, very few people, you can say, have the strength to face the power of Prakriti and decide whether they want to direct it or not. Prakriti, if the desire takes over, you give it.
You say, I produce. Did you have a choice at that time? You understand? Because the desire is taken away. So it's a prakriti, but a person like Vyas, he can say, do you mean? Person like Vyas can say, he has gone beyond. He could control the person. For example, in our body, the blood flow is it voluntary or involuntary? Breathing voluntary or involuntary? But yogis can make it voluntary. They play with it. To play with it, you gotta go beyond it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. To play with anything, you gotta go beyond it. What will take you beyond it is knowledge. If you study, reflect every day, you come to understand that I am only a trustee. The Ishwara is taking care of everything. I am just a trustee. Unnecessarily, I don't want to have this ownership attitude. You understand? Then you let go. That's what Krishna is saying, just let go. Effortlessly, the whole thing should flow. You see people, practicing Tai Chi. What is it all about? Effortless. The doer has to be merged into the doing. Then the effort flows effortlessly. That is the meditation. So he says, with an undespairing mind, the despair comes, how will I do it? What will happen to me? Who will take care of me? Who will see the street dog? Who is taking care of me? It has no bank balance, but forget about that, no account, no caretaker, right? The birds, who's taking care of the birds? Who took care of you when you were in your mother's womb? The cool thing is, holding on and not letting go. With knowledge, you'll be able to let go. See, knowledge will make you relax. And the moment you relax and you let go, it's incredible. So you start at your level now. I said, try to work for something higher. When I was flipping classes in Abu Dhabi and all, whenever Swamiji comes, we used to announce the class. We need some volunteers to help us out in the organization. Now we need to organize. Things should be done as a team. So we need volunteers to help us in the bookstall, somebody to set up the stage, all sorts of work. Somebody to drive Swamiji to the venue, etc. Invariably I saw the some of them who were also side devotees used to attend my class. Invariably the first people who will come forward to say yes, we are with you is the people who are side devotees. So what I came to know is he emphasized on service. I don't know anything about him much, but the service that he emphasized, not people will come forward. Incredible. Even when there was tsunami in India, there in the Middle East, people got together, especially the Thai devotees, got together and they literally, went to every house, collected stuff, sent to here. I mean, it's incredible. Work for something higher. I didn't go on the road. We are so preoccupied in our tablets and in our mobile phones, in our conversations, in all this. Just have a look at both sides of your window. You see, how many people are living on the roads? They have no house. They're living under the bridge. You see all the fireworks. They're living under that. Isn't it? How grateful you should be
but does it show in your activities? You are only complaining about this and that. I have no use in complaining until I let a man go. So all this is not going to help you keep on complaining about sorrow. Give us a method and we can get rid of our sorrow. As long as you start functioning, thinking egoistically, you are not going to get rid of your sorrow.
You want to get rid of your sorrow, learn to rise above your ego. Unless and until you clean drop your selfishness,
unless and until you clean drop your ego, you will not be free from sorrow. Impossible. Sometimes you do charitable work, but there also you have that egoistic feeling. See, I have done so much. Compared to him or her, I have done more.
And what kind of feeling you have, Ajitesh? As a result, why? You apparently did something good, but inside, what was there? How is it?
Isn't it? It's like a bowl of milk with one drop of milk. This is why I tell you, I'll give you a bowl of milk, a beautiful, wonderful, best milk in the world. Just one for that small drop of poison. So what the hell are you talking about? I don't want anything like that. It's like that. A lot of us probably don't have a goal. Some of us
who have a goal, it is spoiled with ego.
Tera tujhko arpan kya lage tera. That should be your act. Then you know, living will be like you are floating in water. Literally, it will be like floating in water. Not floating on water. Non, cash, breathing, around. Living should be like that.
But today, living is such a stress. No animal has boredom. Boredom is a phenomenon that only human beings have.
Because of expectation. When you pick up a higher goal and function, what you are dealing with is your expectation. You just serve. We studied in the third chapter. Here in the sixth chapter. What did we study in the third chapter? Tamasic fellow eats without producing. Rajasic fellow cooks but eats sin. Sattvic fellow eats the remnants of sacrifice. Now, have you brought the reference of sacrifice to you? On that line, you've got a PhD.
Wonderful writing you've done, beautiful, appreciated, lots of books you've published. But you have never tasted what it is to be sacrificial. When you eat the remnants of sacrifice, then you know what joy the sattvic fellow is experiencing.
Why would he want to go into tamasic? I believe Swamiji, you know Swamiji, our Swamiji studied in Chinna Mission. He was there for almost 18 years. So he shared some of his experience with us. So when Swami Chidananda, he started the ashram, after some time he went back to Tapan Maharaji and he told Tapan Maharaji, please you come and stay here in the ashram, your ashram. He said, I am not coming. And one of his Guru Bhai, from Chidananda's Guru Bhai, who did Chapna with him, I think called Govind the Giri, I think that was the name. That great thing, he happened to come and he stayed in Swami Chidananda's ashram. And Swami Chidananda was a wonderful person, a great spiritual person. And after a few days, he left. Chidananda said, I don't know, why don't you stay back here only? He said, why do you want to keep this parrot in a cage? He said, good. When you experience the higher, you refuse to partake with the lower. even if you partake in food. That you can't plunge. That Guru cannot give you. Sri Krishna cannot give you. The whole message is that just let go of, you don't think that you are holding on this earth, man. Earth is revolving around the sun. Are you responsible for it? Who is responsible for all this vegetation? Who is responsible for the rain? How does the whole thing function? And you'll see, once you gain that knowledge, I don't know how many of you watch the movie Gravity. Have you watched the movie Gravity? It's a very nice movie. The class of movie you watch. It will give you the beautiful experience of the stage. You are in such a vast universe, but all the time your focus is just upon this small little thing called you. What is going to happen to me? Tomorrow, what will happen? Day after tomorrow, this fellow is trying to deceive me. It's like all our time, our attention is just upon her. That's all we are doing. How can we escape the great sorrow? Future? See, this one line has so much to think about. If you really want to escape the great sorrow, you've got to plunge. That's what he's saying. Let that be known as the yoga of severance, the union with pain. As long as you work selfishly, right, you are not going to escape from the impossible. So find out people. It's not the quantity, isn't it? People have tremendous things around them, but they're constantly in sorrow. Network, murder, sleep is it. After killing the death. No selfish fellow can be happy. No unselfish fellow will be unhappy. It is a law. So identify with the deeper levels of your personality. That is what he is saying. Then you got to pursue that with determination. In the beginning, there may be a lot of tests because things are not going to happen immediately. Somebody asked me, in fact, in Gurati, a businessman, how do you guys function then? Because you don't have a 9-to-5 job. There is no guarantee of pension. How do you function? Who takes care of you? It is the same Krishna who takes care of you, takes care of you. That is all it is. It's incredible. You understand? Once you learn to live, Swamiji keeps on saying, he says, I've been living unemployed for the last 50 years, he says. Busy. Unemployed. The same. It's a, such a low feeling to be attached. You go about doing what you have to do. How do you even think that Krishna will leave you? In fact, in this very chapter, the 8th school will come. I'll talk about it in detail later on. He says, my devotee will never come to despair. My devotee means not Krishna's devotee or Rama's devotee will go to hell. It's not like that. The person who learns to live like this, how things add up, it's incredible. You've got to experience it to see it, then you will not be bothered. I mean, it will sound as if I'll be talking about myself, so I'm not giving certain examples. But it's incredible how it works. Because if a guy can genuinely look what happens in politics, you find out. People vote the fellow who was least interested in the thing. And once he gets attached, doesn't go any service, but he gets attached, the power is thrown out. But if he is not attached, he continues to serve. People say, hey Baba, we want you only, come back again. Right? How does that happen?
because you understand that it is the very same Krishna who is taking care of everybody, he is going to take care of me. I just have to do what is in my nature to continue doing.
You are a finger thing, you are a dancer and dumb, you are a singer sing. Isn't it? If you do it, the spirit of Lokas and Rahadhyay, then you are identifying with the depth and then functioning, as a result of which great sorrows will not come. So I am saying today something, just studying is not enough. Side by side, when you give yourself function with such vision, with such goal for fire, suddenly you find your life a dynamic shift. You say, my God, all this while, it's complete. Now it's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world. Same people, same situation, the world is still beautiful, no more sorrowful. Why? Because you now got something higher. That low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man with great things to pursue, right there he knows it. That low man goes on adding 1 to 1 is 100 soon hit. This high man with great, this high man aims at a million and misses a unit. You know, there are two different interpretations for this book. I have found both interpretations are brilliant. This is a little portion from the poem Grenadian Struggle. You can Google it by Robert Browning. The poem is called Grenadian Struggle. That low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man with great things to pursue dies ere he knows it. That low man goes on adding 1 to 1, his 100 soon hit. This high man with great things to pursue dies ere he knows it. What do you understand from this book? I'll give you both interpretations that I've heard. You give me what comes to your mind when you heard this word.
This man actually does it objectively, step by step, and he adds. And the high man has a desire, wants to do it, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't. So before that, he accomplished what he set out to do.
Yeah, this is one interpretation. What is the other interpretation? But I found little more interesting and deep. See, the low man adding 1 to 1 his 100 soon hit. He's like focusing in the present action and the result of which many things are achieved. That low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man with great things to pursue, dies very close. He is thinking about the fruit and not focusing on the action. As a result of it, he misses the unit. That's the interpretation. The other interpretation, because you said that I am not elaborating on it. The second interpretation, which I found a little more deep, is this. That low man, this low thinking man, that low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. Goes to 9-to-5 job. Sets up a small business, wants to earn his money for his living, sees it and does it. Right? This high man with great things to pursue, dying there is most. Meaning, he sets such a high goal. Remember this high man with great things to pursue, dying there is most. In the sense, they are talking about the grammarian whose funeral is happening. The grammarian set a high goal and even before achieving the goal he died. Like some of the great freedom fighters, Bhagat Singh. You understand? The diksha that Bhagat Singh, people like Bhagat Singh gave, we are enjoying. You understand? We are living beautifully, great, absolutely grateful to those guys. You understand? People like Bhagat Singh, Uttam Singh, all these guys, many people didn't see through the freedom struggle, right? They were not there when we got the freedom. Are we really aware of all that? You understand? Like that, but they worked for a vision, worked for a cause, like that. This grammarian worked for a higher cause, died early in morning. You, meaning, before achieving that, but many things he achieved in the bargain. That low man seeks little things to do, sees it and that does it. This high man has great things to pursue, right there he knows it. That low man goes on adding one to one. His hundreds soon hit. This high man aims at a million and misses a unit. Meaning, this guy gives himself for the higher cost. He apparently missed it, but he's given himself that higher cost. Don't be like that.
Not so he walks towards that.
He's not bothered about the immediate things.
He's not bothered about whether he missed that thing.
Yes.
But he's walked
towards that. But that's a question. Now that we are looking at it. But it's interesting question. The idea goes up in a way conveying that work for something higher. Every time from now on, if you start feeling some sorrow, immediately you must ask yourself, where is the selfishness here? Because it's impossible. Without selfishness or egoistic thought that you will have sorrow. It's impossible. There is somewhere I am egoistic, I am selfish. So what do I have to do? I have to learn the knowledge. I have to imbibe the higher aspects of life. Then plunge. Become the ambassador of Narayana. Become the ambassador of Lord Shiva. Whosoever is your Ishta Devata, you can pitch him off as the higher goal. Just plunge. Let go. Unbelievable is the feeling you will get. Yes, initially, you will be going through turmoil. So, with an anti-sparing mind, pursue, pursue, pursue. Similarly, in meditation, suddenly you find a beautiful life. In the beginning it's painful, the end is great. So that's what he's saying here. पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति
सकलं परस्मै सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।